Chapter 33, If You Could Wear My Slippers. Although the ladies from Miss Pearl's parlor sat in the last pew of the church that morning in an attempt to be less conspicuous, Pearl was not surprised when she saw four unhappy women standing on her front porch. Mosella met them at the front door, and Pearl graciously welcomed them inside. "Good afternoon, ladies. Won't you come in?" It was a lovely afternoon, and the windows in Miss Pearl's parlor were all open, allowing the delicate white curtains to dance lightly in the breeze. Harmony was playing Claire de Lune on the piano, creating serenity in the great room. "That sounds lovely, dear. Do keep playing if you will." Pearl knew that Harmony's music might help tame this angry beast following at her heels. She led the ladies into the library where Sarah and Annabelle were reading. "If you will please excuse us, ladies, we will be using this room for a short meeting."
"Yes, ma'am."
"Would anyone like a glass of tea?"
"Absolutely not. My name is Gladys Crank-a-Lot. This is Hazel Snobgrass, Ernestine Meany, and Miss Susan Smith. Let me come straight to the point. We do not want you or your kind at our church ever again. It is a house of God."
"Miss Hattie tried to bring her girls one time before, and we made sure that never happened again. Women like you are shameful sinners. You have some nerve showing up at our service this morning, Miss Whatever Your Name Is."
"My name is Victoria Pearl McKnight. My friends call me Pearl. You may call me Mrs. McKnight."
"Mrs. McKnight? That's a joke. What kind of man lets his wife work in a parlor?"
"I am a widow."
"Widow or not, we came here today to let you know you are not welcome at our church, now or ever."
The third woman, Ernestine, sitting upright with her arms folded up over her breasts, remained silent, only frowning and grunting. Pearl recognized her as the woman who earlier in the church had pulled the kind lady away.
"My, but you have quite a library here. Wuthering Heights, one of my favorites."
"Yes, I insist that my girls be educated and well-read. We read every day, and I personally visit the public library at least once a month for new books."
"I am a school teacher. You really have an exquisite place here, Mrs. McKnight."
"You can call me Pearl, Susan." Ernestine cleared her throat, grunting like an angry bear. Hazel and Gladys threw Susan evil looks.
"We are not here to make friends, Susan. We will not have you in our church with your whores."
Pearl glared at Gladys. If there was one thing she would not tolerate, it was any kind of disrespect to her girls. "If you were a man, within 2 minutes, Katie would have her shotgun in your faces escorting you out the door. No one comes into my parlor and calls any of my girls whores without consequences. Because you are ignorant women unfamiliar with our rules, I will simply tell you to not repeat that word again, Miss Crank-a-Lot."
"That's Mrs. Crank-a-Lot."
"How fortunate for you. Is your husband still alive?"
"Yes, he is. What business is that of yours?"
"Again, how fortunate for you."
"My husband is alive, too."
"I know."
"And what do you mean by that?"
Pearl suddenly realized she needed to backtrack and catch herself. "Why, I saw you standing next to a man in church today. I assumed he was your husband."
"I'm not married. School teachers are not allowed to be married. I don't know if I'll ever get married.
Never having been confronted like this before, Pearl felt herself getting defensive. Although there had been demonstrations parading on the streets of the levee in Chicago, she had always been protected from any confrontations at the Everlay House. Never before had she been face to face with women of this nature. Ada and Minna paid thousands of dollars to keep the law as well as these kinds of conversations outside the walls of the mansions on Dearborn Street in Chicago. Mosella had always been an excellent gatekeeper, and Pearl kept to herself when she was in town. "You know, what we do here is not really much different than what you do. The only real difference is what we call it. You call it your wifely duty, and we call it survival. Men have needs, and we make it our business to see that those needs are met in a friendly environment."
"You are all sinners, and you're going to hell."
"I do not understand you women, and I certainly do not understand a church that would refuse anyone to come in and participate. My girls are real people. You have no idea what these young women have been through in their lives. Each one of them is friendly, generous, intelligent, and kind. Beautiful inside and out. I know, because I am selective with who works here." Ernestine tightened her arms and grunted again. "It is simply a matter of biology. Just like any other animal, man has two basic instincts, survival and procreation. When the two come together, a business like mine develops."
"A woman can get pregnant and give birth only once a year, whereas a man can procreate hundreds of times."
"Because males and females are different in that respect, they each have different needs. Women are looking for good fathers who can provide for the offspring, and men are just looking. It is simply a matter of supply and demand. Men need their pipes cleaned and a little female kindness once in a while. We provide both those services, and may I add, the girls are good at what they do."
"That's disgusting."
"We have a different opinion. That is why men come to us. Our job is to make men feel viral and appreciated. We sell female attention and sexual satisfaction. Most of our clients are single men, lonely for a woman, or looking for a good time. It is actually an honest exchange with no expectations. We are not in the business of stealing anyone's husband. We provide a service, and we do it well."
"Sex is a shameful act that should only be done when a married couple desires children."
"That is one of the saddest things I think I have ever heard anyone say. I am not sure whom I feel sorrier for, you or your husband. I believe I am sad for both of you." Ernestine gave the room another grunt.
"Huh.
I am sorry you ladies feel the way you do. Before we walked into church today, I told the girls not to be afraid, and we remembered how Jesus spoke to the woman at the well. Perhaps you are right. I believe your church is not a good fit for us after all. Do not worry. We will not attend your service again. We will look for a church with people who will treat us as Jesus would. After all, is that not what true Christians do?" Susan, the schoolteacher, listening to Pearl's every word, was impressed with the way Pearl was handling the situation. Ever since Pearl's parlor had opened up for business, she had been curious to be inside. Now that she was actually here, she realized it was certainly not what she had expected. "This meeting to inform us that we are not welcome at your church is most unfortunate. The music was nice and actually moved one of my girls to tears. In addition, I am sure your preacher saw there was a healthy increase in the collection plate this morning. I especially appreciated his message about throwing the first stone. Did any of you happen to listen to his sermon? I found it to be both insightful and inspiring. No one said a word. All three women had that "I just sucked a lemon" face again. Susan, obviously disengaged from the others, continued to look at book titles on the tall oak shelves. By now, Pearl had figured out that she had accompanied the she pack out of curiosity. I am sure that you women are not aware that we help support the orphanage in town. The girls often buy gifts for the children. You have made your message quite clear, ladies. We will not be attending your church again. Pearl rose from her chair, indicating the meeting had come to an end. When she opened the library doors, all four women stood to leave. Walking into the great room, Pearl saw Redbird, Annabelle, and Betsy reading and enjoying Harmony's music. The church ladies also heard the lovely harmonic tones from the piano. Harmony's performance had protected the girls from the ugliness of the conversation that had occurred behind the library's heavy mahogany doors. When Pearl saw the young women whom she had come to love sitting innocently in the room with the warm breeze blowing softly through the windows, her heart felt with contempt for the women from the church and their self-righteous attitudes. These girls were her family, each one of them precious to her. Her anger was brewing like a tea kettle coming to a boil as the faces of young women she had known in Chicago floated through her mind. Memories of her friends' tragic stories of abuse and abandonment and how people had come to the Everlay house to sell their daughters dampened her mood even further. She thought of the women who had been kidnapped, drugged, gang raped, and then sold on the levee after being soiled and shamed. Like lava exploding from the depths of Vesuvius, Pearl, seeing red, exploded in a rage of Irish temper. "My girls are not bad girls!" She roared with the fury from hell. Her voice was so volatile, it felt like an earthquake was shaking the house. All eyes fixed on Pearl. Harmony's hand stopped mid-chord. The silence was deafening. Pearl's rage froze the women in their tracks. Everyone else in the house slowly and silently entered the room. Until now, Miss Pearl's parlor had only known Pearl's eloquent speech and calm but firm demeanor. They were in awe as they witnessed this elegant lady transformed into a war goddess. The room was wide-eyed with amazement, except Ginger, who was grinning from ear to ear. "My girls are not bad girls. Do you think they chose this profession because it was their little girl dream come true? Oh, yes. One day when I grow up, I want to be a prostitute. What is wrong with you people? How dare you come in and tell us we are not good enough for your precious little church? How dare you?" Terrorized by Pearl's outburst, the women, unable to move, stared at Pearl. Her outburst glued them to the floor. Hazel had wet herself, and Gladys broke out with a hot flash. Ernestine the grunter had unfolded her arms and was holding on to Hazel for dear life. "For just one day, if you could wear their slippers and have the thoughts and memories these girls have every day of their lives, you would know each one of these women are courageous and beautiful inside and out. You have no idea what each one of them has been through and how she has survived. Annabelle, my love, tell these self-appointed Christian women why you are here."
My husband was a soldier in World War I. When I was 4 months pregnant with our little girl, he was killed in Germany fighting for this country. Billy was the love of my life. We were destitute and met Pearl on a train. Mother takes care of little Julie Marie now, and I send the money. If it wasn't for our little girl, I would be with my Billy now.
The church whim had stirred Redbird's Irish spirit. She was so angry, her shiny red hair looked like it was on fire.
My mother was too pretty for her own good and left us for some man and moved to New York when I was 10. She didn't even say goodbye. Daddy died a few months later with a broken heart. My aunt and uncle moved into our house and I took care of my brothers. Aunt Gertrude always hated me. One night, her son's friend sneaked into my room and raped me.
Oh my goodness. That's horrible.
It was obvious what happened. When Aunt Gertrude saw him coming out of my room, she called me a whore and kicked me out of my own house. My little brothers were sent away to boarding school. I'm trying to make enough money so we can be together again. Actually, come to think of it, you remind me of my Aunt Gertrude.
Pearl put her arm around Betsy.
I was so stupid. I ran away from home with a man I thought loved me. He left me in the middle of Texas when I wouldn't give him money for a poker game. I hurt a lot of people when I left.
I found the poor kid in the middle of a train station, crying her eyes out. My mother sold me to a madam in New Orleans for $1,000.
I thank God every day for Ginger and Miss Pearl. I had nowhere else to go, so they took me in.
Oh, my.
Ernestine ceased her grunting, and Gladys shook her head. They had never heard stories like this before.
I believe it is time for you to leave now. You have made your point, and we have made ours. We have no more business with you, and you have no more business with us.
Mosella opened the door.
Romans 10 and 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
The three ladies left without a word. Their sour faces had morphed into faces of bewilderment. Susan stayed behind.
Come here, girls. Welcoming her Lady Pearls with open arms, everyone surrounded Pearl, forming a close-knit circle. You are amazing. Pearl praised each of her girls and hugged them in turn.
Wish I had a photo of those ladies when you roared like a lion protecting her cubs. I believe you woke up the dead.
I am not sure where that came from, Mo. All of a sudden, I was so angry at those women.
I am so sorry those women were ugly to you, Miss Pearl.
I don't like to gossip. However, I happen to know that back in the day, one of those women showed her bloomers to a man after she learned her cousin Florence was sweet on him. Everybody knows she's a jealous woman. Always wants something someone else has. Anyway, it wasn't long after that she married that man. She told everyone her baby was premature. I never heard of anyone having a baby that weighed 8 pounds after only being pregnant 7 months.
Some folks were suspicious.
People who point their fingers have three fingers pointing right back at them, Susan.
Sometimes men can be easily trapped because they let that thing between their legs do all their thinking. Too bad for him. At least we're more honest about that kind of thing here.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
Pearl faced Susan, who was standing ramrod straight. What your church lady friends need is a good old-fashioned session with my old friend, Dr. Getteroff. Once there was a handsome doctor who specialized in female hysteria. His name was Dr. Getteroff. He had a good practice and was in great demand. Although several doctors practiced this method of sedation, he was popular because he was so good-looking and had such a gentle yet effective technique. He encouraged the women with his deep, sexy voice, and he was especially well known for making a woman produce vocal expressions that could shatter glass. Many of the wealthy women in town had treatments 2 or even 3 times a week from Dr. Gederoff. He even had a flyer that advertised he made discreet house calls.
Female hysteria? What's that?
I learned in Chicago, living in a house full of women, the best way to understand a woman's current disposition is to look at the moon, also on a 28-day cycle. The moon changes every night as well. The Mayans actually formed their calendar by the pattern of the moon. 2 or 3 days exist in that 28-day cycle when even the nicest of girls can turn into a screaming shrew.
You mean like Gladys today?
Exactly. Well, it seems that one day, somewhere, somehow, somebody discovered that when a woman gets pissy or displays a sour disposition, the most effective solution to transform her from a screeching owl to a purring kitten is to stimulate the woman's pelvic region until she starts singing. Heather took the cue and belted out her highest note in an operatic crescendo. Many times, the poor doctors treating female hysteria would get cramps in their hands working on cranky women. This happened to poor Dr. Gederoff.
Poor Dr. Gederoff.
Poor Dr. Gederoff. Poor Dr. Gederoff.
Susan had no idea why everyone was laughing. He was a very nice man, and the women loved him. Such a nice technique. He had more business than he could handle. I believe he married a rich widow and finally retired. Many doctors learned Dr. Gederoff's famous technique, but alas, their hands cramped too.
Dr. Mortimer, an English doctor who specialized in female hysteria, came up with the idea of powered vibration. At the turn of the century, Hamilton Beach created a vibrator to speed up the process.
For years, they sold these appliances in the Sears catalog until somebody complained that they were too sexual.
Probably a man.
Although Sears took the vibrators out of its catalog, I happen to know they are still available.
I have one.
So do I. Zoom, zoom, zoom.
Mozilla, I feel like celebrating. Champagne for everyone.
I've never had champagne before.
My dear school teacher, it is certainly time you did.
Within minutes, Mozilla and Emma Grace had produced glasses and chilled bottles of French champagne.
As Pearl studied each face and recalled each of the girls' stories, she realized that they were a team united against the hardships of the world. A feeling of peace swept over her heart and soul like a cleansing waterfall. Pearl lifted her glass. Her eyes filled with tears of pride. I want to propose a toast. Here's to the Lady Pearls of San Angelo, Texas, the most wonderful women I have ever had the pleasure to know. Ginger stood and lifted her glass of champagne.
You have made us into a family and given us a place to call home. Miss Victoria Pearl, thank you.
Thank you, Ginger. Thank all of you. Play us a song, Harmony.
Come on, Heather. Let's sing. Let's do Basin Street. Lord knows I've got some memories there. Won't you come along with me down the Mississippi?
Redbird swayed back and forth, seductively moving her long, slender body to the jazzy rhythm of the walking bass Harmony played. Lucy and Heather joined her, and soon the room filled with dancing and swaying women, including Pearl.
You've got some moves, Miss Pearl.
There might be a little snow on the mountain, but there is still fire in the furnace. Susan, the school teacher, standing next to Emma Grace, gawked in amazement. She had had no idea what she might find in Miss Pearl's parlor, but she certainly had not expected anything like this. She felt like she was in a room full of sisters, a family who really loved each other. Emma Grace handed her a glass of champagne and introduced herself.
Hi, my name is Emma Grace.
Hello.
Not what you expected, is it? I recognize that look on your face because I had that same look the first day I was here.
The champagne gave Susan just enough courage to ask a question that she had been struggling with for quite some time. When the song ended, the school teacher walked over to Pearl, who was standing by the piano.
Miss Pearl, may I please talk to you about something that has been on my heart?
Why, certainly, Susan. What is on your mind?
Miss Pearl, is sex bad?
The room became quiet for a second time this day. The girls raised their eyebrows, trying their best not to laugh. They made every attempt to help the frustrated school teacher keep her dignity. Pearl did everything she could to maintain a calm disposition. Poor Susan looked so desperate, and Pearl certainly did not want to embarrass her. What do you mean, dear?
I've been told all my life that sex is a shameful act, and women who like it are bad girls. My mother told me that it hurts a lot, but women have to do it if they want to have children. I figured I wasn't missing out on anything, so I decided to be a school teacher.
Harmony was enjoying the conversation.
My grandmother told me it was like jumping up and down in a washtub.
Lately, I have been having these feelings. I have started kissing my pillow at night and looking at the buttocks parts of men. Sometimes I even look at the front. I have been praying to God for forgiveness and even asked that my evil thoughts be taken away, but it's only getting worse. I'm kissing my pillow more than ever. I have been having fantasies about the father of one of my students. His wife died last year, and ever since then, I daydream about what it would be like if he kissed me and held me. I am a sinner having impure thoughts, and I don't know what to do about it.
Pearl nodded her head at Susan. Girls, this is our new friend, Susan.
Hello, everyone.
When my mother told me about sex, she was most gracious. She told me that when a man makes love to you, it is like dancing in a field of flowers that all open up at the same time. I learned the hard way that she was right. That is, if you are making love to someone who loves you and you love him. Otherwise, it is just a sporting event that can sometimes be fun or sometimes not, depending on your partner.
Like Joe Bob.
You are right about that, Maggie. That cowboy has some real talent.
Personally, I've learned there are three kinds of men. Those who know how to make love to a woman, those who think they know how to make love to a woman, and those who don't care one way or the other as long as they get what they want.
Look at nature. Every living thing on this planet comes from some kind of seed. Every animal is here because of a male and a female. Some animals include a dance when they procreate, and some are even playful like squirrels. When sex is performed as an act expressing the most intimate love between two people, it is a beautiful gift from our Creator. The procreative dance can be both playful and passionate at the same time. When sex is sacred, it can be the most exciting experience in the world. My husband Robert and I had that. Annabelle hardly ever spoke, but when she did, people listened.
Billy and I had that too. Closing my eyes and pretending I'm with him gets me through.
Pearl tenderly touched Annabelle's shoulder.
If it were not for our baby girl, I probably would have given up on life altogether.
Men saw her as exotic and mysterious. Those who knew her well recognized her silence was due to her broken heart.
Sarah was daydreaming.
You are right, Annabelle. You can be with anyone you want to be with if you close your eyes. I like to pretend that Rudy Valli is singing to me.
Mine is Rudy Valentino, the Latin lover. He was so sexy and son of the sheik.
I don't know. I like to keep my eyes open and look straight into the eyes of those blue-eyed cowboys. Some of them are so dang pretty. I can never decide which I like better, watching the cowboy walk into a room or walk out. I've seen some mighty fine backsides.
Sometimes I fantasize about Rudy Valentino as well, Redbird. Maybe it's because of those chic condoms we always use. You know, they named those things chic from that sexy movie he was in.
I like the Merry Widows myself. They come three in a package. Lord, where on earth did they come up with that name?
That's easy. Women have sex for different reasons when they become older. Sex is so much more enjoyable when you are not afraid of getting pregnant. When a mature woman has a good lover, sex can be better than ever. Unfortunately, sometimes the older men have a more difficult time keeping up. Nature is a little backwards as far as that goes. However, a man can become a more sensitive lover with age.
What are condoms?
It's like a balloon you put over a man's happy stick to make sure you don't get pregnant or some kind of weird disease.
Oh, my!
Did y'all know that during World War I, the soldiers were allowed to use condoms for the sole purpose of not spreading disease? Apparently, our men in uniform didn't pay much attention when they were told not to have sex. Turns out condoms also work pretty well in helping women not to get pregnant, even though, technically, birth control is against the law. In fact, just a few years ago, a woman named Margaret Sanger was arrested in New York for passing out brochures on how not to get pregnant.
Oh my goodness! I have never heard anyone talk of such things! I like it!
You know, Susan, in the olden days, there were some school teachers and librarians who used to make a little money on the side doing what we do. They lift their skirts just high enough to reveal those sexy striped stockings the girls in Storyville wore to signal to the men that they might be willing to leave their back doors open for a price.
Things have changed so much since my days at the Everleigh Club. It doesn't seem that long ago that we were riding in trains and horse-drawn carriages. Now we have motor cars and even planes.
Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is more delightful than wine. It's in the Song of Solomon. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He grazes among the lilies until the daybreak, and the shadows flee away.
Very good, Sarah.
I read the Bible, too.
I will read the Song of Solomon tomorrow. It sounds so poetic.
So, sex is not a bad thing?
Of course not! I love sex!
Me too. It's such a double standard. How come when a man wants sex, he's a stud? But if a woman wants it, she's a bad girl. I don't think it's fair.
I think I want it. I want sex. There, I said it. I want sex.
Yes! The school teacher wants sex!
The school teacher wants sex!
I want to kiss a man and feel a man. I want to snuggle up and cuddle up. I want to excite him and be excited. I want to take him to the land of milk and honey. And I want him to take me to the promised land. I want sex! I want sex! I want sex! I want sex! Sex! Sex!
Ginger, who rarely even smiled, applauded her with encouragement. The others followed suit and gave Susan a standing ovation.
I've never felt so free. No wonder women don't like you. They don't understand you because they don't understand themselves. You're free. They all say you are horrible sinners, but you are free to be sexy because that is who you are.
How old are you, Susan?
28.
Of course you want sex, Susan. It is perfectly natural that you want sex. God made you that way. To deny it would be denying that you are a woman. Good for you, Susan. Say it again.
I want sex. I want sex. I want sex, sex, sex.
I love men, and I'm not ashamed to say it.
Me too, especially those cowboys. I love a Texas gentleman, especially when he appreciates what I have to offer.
I want to smell a man, kiss a man, feel a man. I want to turn him on and get him hotter than a frying pan. Here's to all of you. Here's to the Lady Pearls of San Angelo.
Everyone in the room held up their glasses and cheered.
Here's to the Lady Pearls of San Angelo.